Wonderful stuff in that fifth chapter. Now the sixth chapter, verse 1. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Wow. That's humbling just to read.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so we're not to hate our brother who stumbles or who fails or falls, but to seek
restore him, right.
To restore him. Yeah,
that's very important, because sometimes people will not forgive forever.
There
must be a point at which a man can repent and move on, and not be sort of second-class citizen forever because of what he may have done, and even if it's a grievous failure.
Well, and if we deny that other brother the opportunity to repent and to be restored, the next time it may be me.
Yes.
Verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of, not the law of Moses he's got in mind, but the law of Christ.
Critical term.
The law of Christ, that is that law of love that we've been talking about, I suppose.
That phrase is only in 1 Corinthians 9:21.
Oh, really? Okay.
The law of Christ. I'm not going to be under the law to people who are not under the law, but I will go under the law to talk to a Jew if I need to. But myself, I'm not without law, but I'm within Torah of Messiah.
The Torah of Messiah.
Right? There's a Messianic Torah that isn't the law of Moses. There's a different thing.
Right. I love it. Mm-hmm. Verse 3, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Wow. So we must be very careful not to exalt ourselves.
Yeah, we have to have a moderate assessment of our talents, I think, and recognize that other people have talents. You know, and even if you think you're talented, where did you get that talent from?
Yeah.
How many of those talents did you give yourself? Doesn't all talent come from God? That's the point.
And and then verse 4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and in not regard to another. He's not going to be able to make his boast against another, but rather
or compare himself with another. You know, let the other guy do his thing, you do yours, and don't make comparisons. In that sense, then each one bears his own load. And the critics say there he's contradicting himself. They just said bear other people's a nice saying bear.
The verse,
it's a different setting.
The verse 5, thank
you. Do your own work, right?
Own word. Yeah, that's right.
Another
look
setting,
to yourself here. That's right.
Help others with their burdens. That's a separate issue.
Yeah.
That's not difficult.
And wouldn't it be rather self-exalting? To look at my brother who fails or is weak or has a problem, and then exalt myself and say that's not me. I'm because next time it could be me,
right?
And I have to bear that in mind.
They're good lessons.
Verse 6.
Yes.
And let the one who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. I love that.
I love that. We must comment on word, which is the word of the gospel of the kingdom. And one can say that for the rest of our careers.
That's right.
The word of God in the New Testament is not just a synonym for the Bible. It's the shorthand, in-house, code word for the gospel of the kingdom of God. Very important.
Wonderful.
Very important. It's tremendously illuminating to know that.
But and we're assuming then that the one who's teaching is going to be teaching that word.
Yes.
And the people who are listening are going to be hearing and receiving that
word. Right.
And herein is the spirit of work. This is wonderful.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. And they should be recognized in some way. I mean, obviously you can't make blanket rules here about paying pastors, paying or whatever. But there is a place for some reward
for
the guy who labors in the word, however that may be.
Yeah. Surely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Verse 7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, verse 8, for the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life.
Excellent. Yeah, and the flesh, you know, in Paul is that downward pull. It's the bad part of the corrupt part, which left on its own gets into all kinds of problems, and left to the law of Moses results in backbiting, fighting.
It doesn't work at all.
That's not going to work.
That's right.
So it's a fleshly thing. What we need is the Spirit, and we're back to 3, verse 1, where it says, how did you get the Spirit? Or 3, 2, is it, how did you get the Spirit? You listen to the gospel. That's illuminating, isn't it?
So, verse 9, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. Wow.
Good stuff. In due course.
In due time we will reap.
at the same time. Yeah. By the way, Luke 14:14 is a marvelous verse. You will be rewarded at the resurrection of the just. Luke 14:14. Isn't that beautiful?
It's just straightforward, isn't it?
Easy.
Yes.
You get rewarded at the resurrection of the just.
That's wonderful.
Wonderfully clear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith.
Yeah.
I like that.
Very broad.
I like that a lot. Do good toward all men.
Yeah, especially the special duty to the fellow Christians.
And it is interesting to me that I can't say I'm doing good toward my fellow man if I don't share the word of the kingdom with him. If I don't share the word of God, then actually I'm not doing too good toward my fellow man. I mean, I may help him out in other ways, or he may help me. But we need this this interaction relative to the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and one can't just do soup kitchens. You know, some people say really the essence of Christianity is soup kitchens. It's interesting that when there was a famine in Jerusalem, they send a donation to the poor saints.
Mm.
Then it would be lovely to solve the world's problem. You won't do that this side of the second coming.
Yeah.
So you do what you can, especially to the household of faith, I suppose. Yeah.
Verse 11. See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand.
That must be large letters.
I would think so. Yeah,
not large, letters.
Not long letters necessarily, but large.
Probably his sight. Right?
Perhaps so.
Whatever that was.
He's indicated something about his sight earlier, and now here we are talking about it. So there must be something to that, I would think.
So. Yeah.
We'll ask him someday. We'll know for sure. All right.
Yeah.
Verse 12, those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Wow. You talked about that a little earlier.
Yes, there is this thought in the commentators, which is quite interesting, that the religion of Judaism was actually protected by the state. Christianity wasn't. So some wanted to sort of play Jew, let's pretend to be Jewish, keep the Sabbath and do circumcision. Then we come under that umbrella protection from the state, which we wouldn't have if we're just a Christian cult. And there may be an answer to that there. Right. Some simply want you to go and play Jew and be Jewish in lifestyle. This way you get more approval from the state and less persecution.
Yes.
Better to stand up to the crucifixion and say that put an end to the law in its Mosaic form.
Wow.
And be plainly courageous, right? Yeah. And suffer for it. Yeah.
And we know that there was times when the Jews went through something. Well, in Acts we find the Jews being forced out of Rome on one occasion. But generally the Jews had a certain degree of recognition by the state.
They did, that's right.
And, they may not have liked them a lot, but they did recognize them and kind of accept them.
No, you're right. There were moments, I think, under Claudius particularly where it didn't always work. But in general there was some legitimacy in being of the Jewish faith.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting thought.
Yeah.
Verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Sort of headhunting, right?
Yeah.
Look how many people I've circumcised.
Yes. Yeah.
It's look, very human.
It's a rather much a look what I've done kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. You think, this is just an aside, but don't you think, when we talk about Christians sometimes going from America or wherever to other lands to carry the message. Sometimes I think we have to be careful that our work in that regard really is about the people we're going to carry the message to, and it's not somehow about me. It's not what I'm doing what I,
We have to get over that. We have to get beyond that, I think. I think as you get a little older, it's easier to come to terms with that. When you're young, there's a greater weakness, perhaps, of wanting to be the hero. I don't know. I hope that's true.
Yes.
But I do relate those to this idea, we're the circumcision.
Yeah.
We've got the Sabbath. That's the sign.
Yeah.
The only true church.
Yes.
And that's not the sign. It was under the old covenant. But under the new, it's the sign of love.
Wow.
And unity.
Yeah. It does seem like in this verse 13 that Paul is again making it clear that when one was circumcised, this carries with it the understanding that you're going to keep the law.
Absolutely. Yeah. What he calls the whole law.
Yeah, the entire law. Right. I love that.
Same phrase in Acts 15. Certain Jewish people came down and said, the Gentiles have to be circumcised and keep the law.
The law, that's it. Yes.
It's very important to keep those two things together. There's a whole package that goes with circumcision. Mm-hmm. And if one cannot see that Paul is against that, one really is reading this book blind. I think this is absolutely clear. Yeah.
And what law are we talking about? Again, the one that Paul has identified as coming 430 years after Abraham. I love that.
Powerful stuff.
I like this Abraham thing myself.
Oh, I do too.
It's a much nicer, purer, understandable
way. Oh, it's wonderful.
Way.
That get out of your country, you know, go to a country you've never seen is the gospel.
Yeah.
Leave your family, your national ties, your family ties.
It is.
Everything that we're naturally tied to, and go unseen and unseeing to a land you've never even set eyes on.
Wow.
That's the kingdom.
Yeah. Amazing.
So we give up everything for the kingdom. We've never seen it, and yet we know it's coming.
Wow. So here we are drawing to the conclusion of this matter, and Paul is still hammering away at this principle. It's it is the whole matter of not being drawn into the law.
Yes.
And he just can't say that clearly enough. Well, he does say it quite clearly, actually, but he wants to make his point very clearly. Verse 14. But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Wow. So he's not going to boast in his law keeping. He's not going to boast in I'm a disciple of Moses, or even a disciple of John the Baptist. It's none of that. He is the disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He follows, and his boasting is in this very odd thing, a crucified Messiah.
Isn't that amazing? Shocking.
Yeah.
Bearing, as somebody says, the exchange curse on our behalf.
Yes.
He's substituting for us. I like this idea of being crucified to the world, meaning the world has no effect on me now.
Yeah.
I'm dead to the world.
Yeah. Just as you said earlier, we're crucified or dead to the law.
Yes. Yes. Same effect.
So meaning, again, it has no effect on me. It doesn't affect
that's
me at all.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Verse 15, for neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but then again that disjunction. Here's what is everything. Absolutely. It is a new creation. That's wonderful.
That's the key, the new creation. So much bad theology is done when we confuse the two creations. We have Jesus creating man at the beginning, rather than Jesus as the head and co-creator of the new creation, Colossians 1:15 and so on. That's wonderful. I just wanted to comment on our Lord Jesus Christ there. It's worth observing that our Yahweh is impossible. Nobody says our Yahweh anymore than they say our Dan normally.
In
North Country part in England they might, but our Dan is not the way to go. And nobody has my Yahweh or our Yahweh. But we do have my Lord Jesus and our Lord. This shows that Lord for Jesus doesn't mean Yahweh.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be our Yahweh, which is impossible. It doesn't work in the language at all.
It's just not the way the language works.
It doesn't work. It's impossible. Our Lord Messiah works, right?
Yes.
My Lord Messiah, but not our Lord Yahweh.
No.
Never.
Very good.
No.
And so Paul here is hammering away again. It's not circumcision or uncircumcision this is about. That's not a non-issue. Yes. Just get it out of the way. And what he's going to say. But here's what we should be focused on, this new creation in Christ Jesus. I love that.
It's both renewed and new. People quibble over that. They say it's not really new. It's both new and renewed. Both Greek words are applied to the new covenant and the new creation.
Let me mention this too. You were speaking earlier. I think one of the things that we've missed is, and inevitably this seems to be the case, people turn their attention to the law and to the keeping of Moses' law. This becomes very absorbing. It absorbs your life.
Oh, yeah.
It absorbs, it affects the way you dress, the way you eat, everything you do from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed at night. And so you're totally absorbed. But I'm feeling very strongly here that Paul would have the people to be absorbed in the not that that covenant that is now passed, that was the blood of bulls and goats ratified, but this covenant now that is ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ, which has to do with our entrance into the kingdom of God.
Cool.
That's what Paul wants them to be excited about, spending their days talking about and discussing and sitting around the table and teaching their children about the kingdom of God
that is
to come. And
so
I only have 24 hours in a day, and all of us have pretty much that same amount of time. How many of those hours will I devote toward trying to keep in some way Moses' law, which is a very confusing and taxing issue to begin with, And I'm going to spend my time and my family's time and my wife's time and my children's time. I'm going to invest in that keeping of the law. Well, every hour I spend devoted to those things, that's an hour I didn't spend rejoicing and glorifying God for the kingdom that is coming and preparing myself for that kingdom and preparing my family and others in my community. Yeah.
Because the constitution of the universe has changed. You see, people who are trying to live under Moses don't realize that constitution is finished.
Yes.
It's like trying to pretend that you're living when Ronald Reagan is president. You know, everything you do is geared to him. Well, no, actually that's over. That's an anachronism, big time. Now the cross of Christ has happened.
Yes.
Live with the new constitution of the universe.
Yes.
That's the way the universe now works.
Yes.
It doesn't work in this old fashion.
Yeah.
You're wasting your time.
And all of this with Moses only came for a time anyway,
until.
We're like Abraham. Abraham wasn't under the law, neither are we.
No.
How much was Abraham under the law?
Yes,
none. It wasn't there.
Yes.
How much are we under the law? None.
Yeah.
But what do we have to go by then? We have the Messiah, the Christ of God, who is our leader, our head, our teacher, our instructor, our guide, our example. He's everything.
Mm-hmm.
We are complete in Him. The Colossians 2:10 thing, it just keeps striking me.
As you speak, it comes to me clearly, it's really an insult to Jesus. You see, if you're trying to clutch onto these outmoded things,
yes,
you're really saying Jesus is not enough.
That's it.
I need the shadow.
You're right.
Now you've got the reality, but the reality is not really. I prefer the shadows. That's a tremendous insult to Jesus.
Indeed. Well, you know, and I think it's fair to say that the things of the law were indeed foreshadowing, as it were, the things of Christ. God designed the law to do that. I think the sacrifice, all these things, did have some sense of shadow of what was going to come. Now, God had to have known the whole picture before the law in order to have designed the law to foreshadow this other.
Oh, yes.
But the law, again, is just that shadowing of it. I was thinking of the day, if you go out on a nice, clear, sunny day, and you look at something, you see a shadow on the ground, and maybe it's something you can stand there and study that shadow and study the shadow, and maybe it'll give you some indications about the reality of what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at this shadow, studying the shadow, and studying on it, thinking about it, and that is this and that and the other, all about it. But if I will just turn and begin to look, there is the reality there.
It's casting
once
the shadow.
I see that reality, it becomes pretty silly to be standing there and say, oh, but I've got to study the shadow. What are you talking about? We now have the reality. Let's walk in Jesus Christ.
So you're terribly out of date. If you're trying to do Moses, you're out of date. You would say to people, get with it, you know.
Yeah.
Catch up with the system. You're lagging behind.
That's right.
That is the cleverness of the system which draws you away from Jesus, back to an unprofitable system.
Yes.
The tragedy is, Dan, it's done with the utmost zeal.
Oh, yes.
Because it takes a lot of effort to put on the prayer tassels.
Absolutely.
And do all of that Jewish stuff that you think is pleasing God.
Absolutely.
It does take effort.
Sure.
But it's zeal for God without knowledge.
Yeah.
That's what Paul complained about.
Absolutely. Wow. So you can't question the zeal. And as you say, it's like Paul in Romans 10 talking about his Jewish brethren. They have a great zeal for God. No question about that.
Recognize
but,
that.
But not according to the knowledge. And there's a bit of a knowledge problem here too, don't you think, with this issue.
Totally.
Those who would turn to the law and they're doing it zealously and determinedly.
That's right.
And yet, as I said before, they're their own worst enemies when it comes to getting this word of the gospel and the kingdom. And the one true God out to the nations.
Right.
Yeah,
it's the lure of the Ten Commandments. You know, the text in Revelation which says the people of God are those who keep His commandments.
Yes.
And immediately the mind goes back to the ten.
Right.
They haven't read this chapter about Hagar.
Yes.
They haven't read 2 Corinthians 3,
of course,
which says that the glory of Sinai has faded. It's gone.
Absolutely.
The veil is still over their eyes. They're still hung up.
Exactly.
You know, people are going to be quite angered by what I'm saying here. If you're still hung up on the Ten Commandments, get with it.
Yes.
Move forward, and you'll see that life will be even better.
That's right. That's exactly
right. It's rather radical to say that, though.
Yes, but it's quite wonderful, though, when you understand it, that we have such a great, the great reality. I'm just not going to spend my time walking and studying the shadows.
Yeah.
Now that the reality is here, it's wonderful. And I love
Very important. That's the lesson of the whole book.
Verse 16. Mm. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God.
Yes, people have fought over this, Dan, this text. And I don't think it's that difficult. Those who walk by this canon, the canon of love, in other words. Yes, the freedom from the old ways and liberty in Christ. Those who go by that lifestyle, that's their Christian walk, then peace, that wonderful blessing out of numbers, yes. You know, peace and blessing,
oh, yes, wonderful.
Be upon them. Talking of the people in Galatia,
right.
Those who got it right,
yes,
who
yes.
understood the message, yes. And of course on the wider international church,
yes.
And here the word Israel of God means the church.
Of course.
Yes, of course we know that there's a future for national Israel. We know that from multiple prophecies. In the end times there will be a national conversion of what we now call natural Jews,
mm-hmm.
national Jews. He's not talking about that here. He's talking about the group that's walking by love. Can you imagine how very strange it would be for him to say, you people who are walking by love are doing beautifully. And by the way, blessings on unconverted Israel.
Yes.
I don't think so, yeah. But people have fought on this.
Yes, yes.
The other text is Philippians 3:3, where he says of the church, we are the spiritual Jews,
yes,
the spiritual circumcision.
Absolutely.
And then he says that if you've joined the church, the international true church, then you are the commonwealth of Israel.
Yes.
One more point is that in 1 Corinthians 10:18, he refers to Israel after the flesh.
Yes.
That's a national, natural Israelite.
Yes,
those are
yes.
the words we need.
Wow.
National Israel, what we call the Jew today, more or less. Natural. But this is the spiritual Israel. And if the church doesn't see that it's the international people of God,
yes.
it's thrown away its inheritance to an unconverted Jew. Let's not do that.
This makes no sense. Well, and who is it then that God received, according to the promises of Abraham, those who are in the Messiah.
Of course.
Those who embrace the Messiah, those who are with the Christ. Those are the people that God looks at and says, hey, I always like the thing that John the Baptist, he was very strong, but he told the Jews back there, he said, don't you realize that God is able of these
yes.
stones to raise up children
yes.
to Abraham?
He doesn't need
so, you.
So,
you know, what are you talking
That's
about?
That's right.
So God can't be fooled. God is going to have a people who will follow his son,
mm-hmm.
the Messiah Jesus, and will follow him all the way into the kingdom. He's the one leading us there.
Isn't it strange how Christians tend to throw away their inheritance?
Oh.
Blessed are the meek, they get the land. Oh, no, that's, they say, for Jews. So let's work hard to get Jews now back into the land. Wait a minute. Blessed are the meek. I thought that was the Sermon on the Mount. Isn't that
yes.
teaching for us?
Yes.
In some circles, you don't
That's
get
right.
that feeling.
That's right.
Then you've thrown Jesus away.
Yes.
You've thrown the teaching of Jesus away. And you've then surrendered your inheritance
yes.
and your titles to unconverted Jews.
Why in the world would we want to do that?
It's not good.
Oh, my goodness.
You've then destroyed actually the core of New Testament theology, flat out.
Wow.
You've really undermined the Bible
I love
big
it.
Time.
Verse 17,
mm-hmm.
from now on let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus.
Yes, wow. That would be the lashes, presumably, you know, the marks on his back from being
wow.
beaten, I
my
would think.
Goodness. I would think
like
so too, yeah.
I've suffered for this, you know, I'm
yeah.
not kidding you.
Yeah.
He's been beaten,
yeah,
kicked out of the synagogue.
Paul was the real deal, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
As
yeah,
they say.
Apparently.
And then
yeah,
I love this
right.
last verse. It's
yes.
just mighty.
Yes.
Few words, but powerful.
Yes.
Verse 18, and I love this.
Mm-hmm.
It's few words, but very powerful.
Mm.
Verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So be it. This is the way it is.
Apostolic blessing
yeah.
at the end, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Very nice. He does it frequently.
Beautiful. And I love that a direct reference to the grace of Jesus being
yeah.
with them. I love that. That's very
isn't
powerful,
nice,
isn't it?
Yeah. The Spirit of Jesus in the book of Acts.
Yes.
The grace of Jesus.
Yes.
He's very much involved
Great stuff.
In the salvation as it's going on
right.
here. We mustn't ever lose the centrality of Christ.
That's right.
Very, very dangerous
That's it.
To do that.
Well, again, it's
yeah.
the same one that the same author in, as I keep,
yeah.
keeps coming to my mind about Colossians 2 and 10,
mm-hmm.
we're complete in him, complete in Jesus.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and his point is,
mm-hmm.
we're complete in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't have to have Moses. We don't need Moses to tell us we shouldn't kill somebody. Jesus has taught us the insurmountable,
mm-hmm.
The,
mm-hmm.
the mighty truths
mm-hmm.
about these matters.
Mm-hmm.
Love one another. Well, wow. I don't know what to say. This is just absolutely
yeah.
amazing. It's wonderful.
It is. It's wonderful. Yeah.
And not that hard, is it?
Not really. I think so. I think between us, we've got a fair amount of experience
yeah.
of seeing these things work out. In, this is not academics for us. This is practical experience in dealing with the different situations.
Yeah.
And I think it's clear that Paul is making a crucial point here.
Yes.
If we miss that point,
yeah.
We really are in terrible darkness.
Mm. Well, I would suggest anyone who may be tempted or drawn into or affected by issues related to the keeping of Moses' law, read the book of Galatians, read it again, read it again. Let it sink in. Don't insert anything. Don't put in Paul's mouth words about, well, there's two laws, and there's this law, and there's that law, and we're all under this one, and we're out. Paul says nothing about all of that.
No qualifications.
It's not right. It's simply not right. True.
No,
don't put into his mouth, well, he really meant the traditions that they had developed. Paul says nothing about that. He talks about the law that was given 430 years after Abraham and at Mount Sinai. This is very clear. Yeah,
absolutely.
It may not have been what we were expecting, but it is the truth of God.
Right. And
it's mighty.
Don't add, well, I'm not doing this for justification. I understand that we can't be justified by God, but I'm doing it for obedience. That is a low point of creating differences that are not distinctions and throwing the whole system into confusion.
Yeah.
Very dangerous.
You're throwing yourself and your life into a terrible muddle at that point. And I think, think of what we're doing as we venture into those things and we lead our homes, our families, our wives, our children into those things. And it is, as Peter said, you know, this is a tough burden that we weren't able to bear ourselves.
That's right.
Why in the world would we want to put that on someone else? So as a man of a home, I think I would want to be very careful as I approach the care of my family, my children, and begin to put the burden and the load of saying, well, we're under the law of Moses, or some of it.
Yes.
That's another thing Paul never talks about. He never says, well, we're under some of the law, but not others. We have to keep some of it. But not. That's an unheard of concept to Paul, and also unheard of in the law.
Right.
Where did Moses say, oh, by the way, now some of what I've read to you today, you have to keep that. What are you talking about? Or Moses didn't say, now, I gave you the moral law, and then I've given you this other law, the ceremony. No, he didn't. It's one law.
That's right.
And it has to be dealt with in total. Right. In toto. It's a, wow.
I think that's the lesson. Because our friends would point out that there were times when Paul conceded to the Jewish element.
Absolutely.
But that's a one-time thing.
Sure.
By all means. If they insist on Sabbath keeping, are you going to fight them on that issue that one day? No, keep the Sabbath with them.
Yeah.
That's fine. But when it becomes a matter of what we do as Christian fellowship across the world, then we have to insist on
a different picture. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Totally different.
And I would certainly think, as a Gentile, it becomes a venture into, I must say, an adventure into the absurd.
Oh, yeah.
That I, as a Gentile, I'm going to go try to keep a law, which in itself excluded me as a Gentile. Unless I were to become a proselyte, a Jewish person.
I think it's
Wow. So I love this. Yeah. I like that 5:1. And Paul is just so strong about that. I love it in the King James. I love some of the phrasing there, but it's the same either way, I think. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ, the Messiah, has made us free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Just don't get tangled into that. Don't get caught up in it. It's a terrible diversion away from the things of the kingdom of God and the things that God wants us to have.
Very clear.
Wow. Well, great.
Yep.
Well, I love it. Well, thank you so much for all this. It's been a great pleasure for me, too. A wonderful thing.